you go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, we're ready to kick off a Halloween weekend. I will admit it right here on the radio. Halloween, not one of my favorite holidays.
Well, and I'm a little mystified, as if it's a holiday weekend for Halloween, and Halloween is on Monday, when are they actually going to be out trick-or-treating? The whole weekend?
Probably the whole week long. I don't know, but I guess it was fun looking back or thinking back a million years ago, going trick-or-treating, but as an adult, just not into it. What I am into is the show. It's Thursday. It's October 27th, 2022, the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030, KVOI, K-Voice, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, where we make it so convenient to podcast and hear all of our programs at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, of which we will do two today, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the Buckmaster Show. Contributor on aviation, JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice, a highly decorated retired Air Force combat fighter pilot. And during his very distinguished career with the Air Force, Jeff is a former weapons development and requirements officer serving. He served at the Pentagon. So he's been following the war in Ukraine very closely. We'll get into that. We actually have a lot to unpack over the next two segments with Jeff. Jeff, for about 20 years, has been flying with JetBlue. He flies the Airbus A320, A321. He's got nearly 20,000 hours of accident-free flight experience. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Thanks for asking.
There are very few off days anymore. It used to be after Labor Day, things slowed down in your business. What are you noticing with the loads you're carrying for JetBlue?
Yeah, it's been pretty full. I will say it's, in some places, chaotic. For a lot of the flights, I've been seeing full loads for the past month, and October is supposed to be the slowest month of the year for the airline industry.
And it isn't happening that way. And one of the things we'll talk with in our travel talk segment at after the break at 12:30 with Ryan Hansen is that people, the pandemic's changed all sorts of travel habits, Jeff. People working at home, they're taking kind of a partial business, partial vacation. It's a different ballgame, isn't it?
Yeah, and I heard a term just recently in the last couple of weeks, which kind of resonated, called travel revenge. And, you know, I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now. People are trying to catch up with all their lost time over the last year and a half, 2 years. Like I say, it's been pretty busy. Now, I will say some routes are less so than others. I usually fly a little bit longer routing, like transcontinental, and I do some Caribbean flying. That's what I've been doing a lot recently. Those flights are full, and the Caribbean flights have been full. So, you know, if you're making plans, don't wait until the last minute to buy tickets, because you'll be surprised at how much they're going to cost you.
Jeff, what about the anger level? We talked during the pandemic. There were some folks that really made the crew's job very difficult. Has that diminished somewhat, Jeff Lattice?
Yes, it has. Significantly. I'm not seeing nearly the amount of rage that I used to see. You still see some frustration, but it doesn't spill over into, you know, where it's potentially violent. And that's what we were seeing a year ago and a year and a half ago with some of the flyers, especially around mask issues. You know, and I think the mask issues were the thing that was really bothersome for a lot of people. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you got to follow the rules.
Yeah.
And the rules were you had to wear a mask, and if you didn't wear a mask, you couldn't fly. And that was pretty hardcore, as a lot of people found out when they wanted to resist, following essentially the regulations that were put out.
You know, scheduling was such a difficult issue this summer, as you well know. The flight attendants now get more rest between shifts under a new FAA rule. It's an extra, an extra 1 hour. Does that impact you guys up in the front of the craft?
We operated under a separate, actually, this is new for flight attendants to have that type of regulation from the FAA. It's always been in place for pilots. Now those numbers have changed. When I first started flying in the airline industry, pilots, min rest, what we call min rest, was only 8 hours. It's gone up to 9, and most airlines will make it 10 hours. So if we don't have 10 hours between the time we pretty much walk off the airplane, to make it simple, to the time we report in, which is usually about 45 minutes to an hour prior to our push time, then there has to be adjustments. They'll either delay the flight or they'll get a new crew. So that's always been in place for pilots. Flight attendants, it's, and trust me, that 1 hour makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that they're getting that. Some airlines operate the crew together the whole trip. So the flight attendants end up following what the pilots are going to be doing. But most of the major airlines, the top five or six airlines, pilots and flight attendants are on completely different trip schedules. So, but it's good to hear. The flight attendants work typically more days than pilots do because they're not as regulated as we are. They can work longer hours than pilots. And so all that really adds up to their fatigue levels. And any help for them, trust me, I'm all for.
So when you check in 45 minutes to an hour before the flight, you are then on the clock and until you'll have how many hours until you are off the clock?
That's not true.
Okay.
For that first hour,
okay,
we are not getting paid. It works differently for different airlines. However, the way it works for us and most airlines, it's when the brake gets released right before push.
Mm.
That's when our clock starts.
Wow.
If we have any major delays, let's say, you get there and there's a maintenance problem and it takes 2 hours to fix it, we're not getting paid for any of that.
Is that right? I had no idea that was the case.
Yeah, it's usually from the time you release your brake to the time that to the time that the cabin door opens when you land and pull into the gate. So it also has some function with the brake as well for us. But that's when we're getting paid. So, and usually that first hour that we show up is when we're working hardest because we're programming the airplane. Getting our, our nest built and our numbers all in. And so we're working pretty hard and we're doing it for free.
Wow. And so you are paid for, you can fly for how many hours then in the trip? What's the total?
Well, that depends on what you're doing. And I'll just talk the simple domestic flying. We are limited to 9 hours in the daytime, and that daytime period is defined somewhere.
Yeah.
And 8 hours at nighttime, just to kind of keep it simple here. Now, typically, we don't fly that much per day. Usually, it's probably closer on the – well, it can be as little as – couple hours to usually around 5 to 6 hours a day is what a pilot will fly. You can go higher, and I've gone up to the limits before. Usually it's, 5-6 hours a day is what we've been averaging. Now, we do get a minimum pay of 5 hours per day averaged over the trip. And it should just be 5 hours a day, period. Hopefully in our next contracts it'll be addressed. They don't average the total time and divide it by the days you go. So there is a minimum pay that we have to get paid.
Okay, Jeff, stick around because I've got a lot more here. Time flies. I want to talk about the pilot shortage, yeah. What the airlines are doing to fix it. Talk a little bit about the war in Ukraine. Mainly, it seems like it's been a land war, but I know you've been really following that closely. We'll get an update on that. But right now, Jeff, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They open the doors for breakfast at 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, 7 o'clock on Sunday morning, and people are waiting in line, and I don't blame them. Great pastries, European-style breads. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com, and pretty soon we'll be talking about putting in your pie and your dinner roll order for Thanksgiving. Last year, Steve and the team up at Mona's had a gangbusters year, a record year of hundreds of pies. I forget what it was. I want to say something like 900, but it was a lot of pies. So think about your dinner and pie order at Mona's. We'll take a break right here. More with Jeff Lattice, Captain Jeff Lattice from JetBlue, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things doing the parking lot sale. It has been extended for another week, and I guess there's a pretty good reason why. People have been very, very enthusiastic about the deals they've been picking up at the parking lot at Green Things. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, zocalovillage.com. Our live line, our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, one of our two dozen contributors. So proud of our team. Our aviation contributor, JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice, is with us, a highly decorated Air Force combat fighter pilot, former weapons development and requirement officer at the Pentagon. We'll talk about the war in Ukraine, the air war specifically, in a minute, but I just see here there was a Lion Air is the flag carrier for, I think, Indonesia. I don't know if they're the flag carrier, but they're based out of Jakarta. They, a Boeing 737 fire in an engine, never a good thing on takeoff from Jakarta. Jeff, how common is that? I'm sure there's a whole list of procedures that you guys are trained or to go with that. What's the deal?
It is really pretty rare.
It's rare.
You know, I've been flying for over 40 years.
Yeah.
And I've never had an engine fire.
Wow.
And I'm not talking little airplanes. These are 40 years of fighters and airliners, and I've never had an engine fire before. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Obviously, it does. But it's pretty rare. And it's nothing that is, well, I shouldn't say serious. It's obviously serious, but we, every year, pilots are required to demonstrate that they can handle these situations.
Okay.
So, you know, when we go to our annual training, we will spend a considerable amount of time with engine failures and engine fires, which sometimes they're both at the same time, and we have to deal with it. And airliners have requirements that they have to be able to fly single engine. They have to be able to take off and climb at a certain rate. I believe it's 200 feet a minute on one engine with a total weight. So it's maxed out weight at the highest certified airport that airplane can fly at. And so for the airplane I fly, that's an airfield at 9,000 feet. Actually, I think it's 9,200 feet to be exact, which is in Ecuador. And that one kind of sets the standard. And so it's safe to lose an engine during takeoff. And people should – they have no – they don't have a reason to panic, and it's okay to be scared, and
yeah.
But don't panic.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when you engine fires, don't necessarily mean the engine has failed. The engine still might be working properly and still producing thrust as normal. In most cases, the fire is outside the actual core of the engine, but still contained within the protected part of the engine, if that makes any sense to you. So you might spring a little bit of fuel leak, for instance, before the fuel goes into the combustion chamber. It ignites, but like a chimney on your house, that is exhausted out of the back of the engine and usually doesn't really affect the performance of the engine. The other way you would have an engine fire is if you had a complete engine failure, i.e. your turbine blows up and it throws turbine blades through the engine and rips up fuel and oil and hydraulic lines. That'll cause a fire, but usually that's still contained within the major part of the engine, just like a fire in a chimney is contained and is exhausted out the back. Now, there are times where it's fairly catastrophic and the engine actually blows up on the inside and you can actually get smoke in the cabin. And that can be scary.
Yeah.
But that's only because the exhaust gases basically burp out the front of the engine and we bleed clean air off the compressor section of the engine, and that's how we pressurize and air condition the aircraft. And if that goes back up forward into the engine, you might get some of that combustion gases, and that'll come back through and into the cabin section of the airplane. That usually gets vented fairly quickly. We had an airplane a few years ago that had an engine failure as he was climbing out. He was actually fairly high. It was like at 9,000 feet when the engine failed, and it did that. It burped the gases up into the compression section of the engine, and people started panicking. And when that happens, it becomes a handful, especially for the flight attendants. And there are procedures. You're not supposed to use oxygen at that point because oxygen can obviously be more of a problem. Like I say, that air vents out. Whenever something like that happens, pilots are really, really busy, and it's hard for us to talk to the customers in the back.
Yeah, I can imagine.
For a little while.
Yeah. All right, Jeff.
We're trying to. Okay.
All right. By the way, that Lion Air, he hit, reached 3,000 feet, turned around, made a successful landing late yesterday at Jakarta Airport.
Yeah, and just to add a little bit to that, the pilots didn't report a fire. It was reported from either passengers or people on the ground that they thought they saw the fire.
Ooh.
So they had some kind of engine failure, but they turned around. As a matter of fact, it didn't even sound like they lost the engine, that there was something that they noticed. And the article I read, it didn't get into specifics. It sounded like they didn't have a fire indication up in the front of the airplane. So,
all right.
And it's a fairly new news, so I don't know.
All right. Only about 3 minutes, and I have teased a couple of items. The pilot shortage, I may save that for another time, because that's not going to go away in the next month or so, right, Jeff Lattice?
Yeah. I'll answer it real quickly. Okay. They're offering pilots a lot more pay.
A lot more pay. All right. And maybe not as much training, right, or no?
It'll still be the same amount of training.
Okay.
That's a requirement.
All right. Let's go to the war in Iran. Let's go to the war. Iran is involved in the Ukraine. But this seems like it's a traditional kind of land-based war. How much air war is going on there, Jeff Lattice?
Well, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of mention about the air war. I know that the Russians are still launching some attacks. As a matter of fact, we were just talking about it the other day about a Russian who had a YouTube camera, or not YouTube, a GoPro, and was shot down. And they captured, you know, the Ukrainians ended up capturing the pilots after they ejected. So they're still doing some operations, but as you know, obviously the main news right now are the drone attacks.
Yeah.
And those are more than just drone. They're really kind of a cruise missile that's a piston engine. They're not as small as they might seem. These are Iranian-built drones. They're about 10 feet long. They have a little more, almost 9-foot wingspan. And they have a warhead somewhere between 60 to 110 pounds. And that can pack a lot of punch in an explosion. And they also have a range anywhere from 1,000 to 1,600 miles. So it's like launching one from Tucson. You could hit New York with it. Or close to it. So they have quite a bit of range. They're very slow. They fly low. They use the Russian GPS system, and they have an internal navigation system as well.
Are they easy to shoot down?
The problem with shooting them down is they will launch hundreds at a time.
Oh.
So it saturates their air defenses. They're having fairly good success at getting the majority of them, but as we've seen on, you know, the media in videos, they can actually shoot them down with rifles, and they're even using pistols to shoot them down. So a lot of them are just being shot down with just conventional guns.
Yeah. Well, it's and there's a psychological factor. I mean, going back to the old buzz bomb toward the end of World War II in London, it creates a lot of psychological issues, doesn't it?
And that's exactly what they are, and they even buzz.
Oh, no.
Like a buzz bomb.
Oh, boy. All right. Hey, Jeff.
We're gonna... like a flying lawnmower.
There you go. Jeff Lattice, always a pleasure. Ran out of time, as always. There's so much to cover with you. We'll have you on again soon. Thank you. Safe flying to you, Jeff.
Nice talking to you, Bill. Next time.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. All right. We're going to take a break right here. Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel next.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our thanks to JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice for a great half hour talking about travel and a little bit on the air war in Ukraine. A good session with Jeff, and we've got a great session coming up for the next half hour, our travel talk with Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. Bon Voyage Travel experts are standing by right now. They will, and gladly do so, create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley, and Oro Valley. Great website they have as well, bvtravel.com. Your first step in making your travel dreams come true. Mr. Ryan Hansen. Rhino, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on again this month.
Always a pleasure. I want to hear all about your trip. This was a relatively short sailing out of Europe. Tell us about the Silver Sea.
Yeah, Silver Sea is a luxury cruise line that is a global operator, and I am fortunate enough to serve. They've just started a Silver Sea Global Advisory Board, and I've been asked to serve on the Global Advisory Board. It's made up of 20 travel agency owners across the world, representing 11 international agencies and 10 domestic, meaning U.S. and Canada. Agencies to all provide Silver Sea feedback about the cruising industry, about the luxury cruise space itself, and maybe some trends and where people are wanting to and how they want to travel moving forward. So our first meeting, and I jokingly say this in the travel industry, you know, when we meet, we don't just go to the Hilton at the Tulsa airport. When we meet, we do it right.
So oh, yeah.
We flew into Nice and had two nights stay at the Monte Carlo, at the Fairmont in Monte Carlo.
Oh.
And then we boarded the wonderful new luxurious expedition ship, the Silver Endeavor. It's a brand new ship to the fleet. I had just sailed out of the shipyards in Genoa days before we were able to board her. And what makes this ship, and maybe I'll tell you real briefly about Silver Sea, Bill. It's not a cruise line that is known brand-wise like a Carnival or a Royal Caribbean, but Silver Sea is the luxury option that is owned by the Royal Caribbean Group. So they've got the power, the financial stability, the reach that Royal Caribbean Group provides. And so this is your luxury option. And why is it luxury? It's six-star accommodations, fantastic cuisine, much smaller ships than what you would think about when you see those Super Bowl commercial ads for the Royal Caribbean ship that has 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 passengers, which is really a floating city unto itself. Silver Sea prides itself on smaller ships. And when I say smaller, I'm talking 700, 400. And the ship that I was on, 200 passengers.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, yes, you would. It's a purpose-built ship for the polar regions. So it will intentionally be sailing the predominant itineraries in Antarctica and the Arctic. So it will be exploring new destinations in Greenland and the Arctic Circle, and will also be hitting the Northwest Passage, but its inaugural sailing will be in less than a month to be launching. I think there's 12 itineraries in a row hitting Argentina to leave there and going across the Drake Passage to Antarctica. And what this ship does is it is designed for this experience. So you got lots of expedition experiential landings utilizing their Zodiacs, but you have other adventure opportunities with two-man kayaks off the back of the ship. But when you come back to the ship after your expedition opportunity, it is six-star luxury. And think of this, Bill. There's 200 passengers on ship.
Yeah.
How many crew do you think are on ship? 200.
Oh, my goodness.
There's one crew member for every guest. That's unheard of in the cruising industry. And those crew members are attending to your every need in your cabin. They're providing you fine wines and great cuisine in the restaurants. But what separates Silver Sea is their naturalists that are on board. A significant percentage of those crew are well-trained and educated naturalists that know this region. They know the environment. They know the wildlife, and they're there to help you experience it on a deeper level and bring the wildlife, bring everything to you where you know about it. So it's definitely an educational experience, not just I get to go touch a seventh continent. Maybe that's on your bucket list. If I want to step foot on every continent, well, this is a great experience for you to touch Antarctica, to see Antarctica, to see the wildlife, to see the penguins up close and personal. By the way, penguins in Antarctica, polar bears in the Arctic. Make sure you know the distinction there. Mm-hmm. You don't see polar bears in Antarctica because they're not there. But Silver Sea will not make you compromise in your accommodations or your food. So you're not going to be sleeping in on a cot, eating your meals out of a tin can over an open flame. Now, some people might like that. This is more geared towards people that want Michelin's fine dining in the restaurant from a rated standpoint and wonderfully appointed staterooms. But then I get to throw on my provided parka and boots, which, by the way, they provide that for you.
Do they really?
And I go out. Yeah, you get a brand new parka and boots. And so when you're out on in the cold, you are cozy warm because of the parka and the boots. And when you come back, Bill, to the ship, you pop your parka in your heated closet in your stateroom get it nice and toasty, warm and dry for tomorrow's excursions. And your boots stay down in the locker room down on the base of the ship. And you pop those on heated racks where then the next day you come out and your boots are just as warm and just as dry as that parka. So it really is an experience unlike any other.
Man, I've always wanted to go to Greenland, and I'm just pulled up there. The website, the link you sent me, first of all, it's a great-looking ship. I mean, it's just, it's incredibly, and I was just pulling up some of their itineraries, you know, like there's a Greenland exhibit, and you can leave from Iceland, or, I mean, some really interesting itineraries there.
Yeah, and if you're looking for, lots of people would say, oh, Iceland, that's off the beaten path. Mm. Iceland is becoming a much more popular destination. So if you are truly someone who wants to be where very few people go, Greenland is the new Iceland, if you were to think about that from a cruising standpoint. And they're unlocking new destinations that have truly never had cruises reach them because why? The ships aren't polar class rated. They're too big. Or they don't have the naturalist on board, and so Greenland has not wanted them to come. So they were fearful that there would be a disruption to the nature environment without people on board that understand how to integrate us, human beings and people, into nature that doesn't typically have the human footprint. And so we want to do it in the travel space purposely to make sure it's sustainable over time. And when you think of Greenland, I think the largest town on the entire continent, Bill, has 17,000 people.
Yeah.
So it is not densely populated, but it is it's a new frontier from a cruising standpoint because of what Silver Sea is doing.
Wow. Expedition cruising. I like it very much. I learned something here. I try to learn something every day. That's why I do the radio show. But I had no idea they had this new ship, and they're really opening up the Arctic.
Yeah, it's amazing the focus of what Silver Sea is doing. The number of destinations that Silver Sea will touch globally is just over 940 destinations, ports of call that they will touch on. The next most ports of call from a competitor is a little over 500. So they're almost twice as many destinations as their nearest competition. So if you are someone who, and again, it's not passport stamping, it's truly immersing yourself in an authentic, organic experience on these ports of call. If you're someone who doesn't want to do the Med again because you've done Barcelona, Rome, Athens, or you've even done maybe what might be a little bit more exotic and you've hit Rio and you've hit Lima and things like that, I think you should consider Silver Sea if you really want to expand your destination opportunities.
All right, Ryan Hansen, stick around. I want to talk about some of the new trends, some of these very interesting, year-round travel has become a big deal. As we heard from our JetBlue captain, Jeff Lattice, Rhino, October was traditionally, believe it or not, the slowest month of the year for the airline industry, but Jeff says, yeah, he's got full capacity on the flights he's been flying. So we'll talk about that how things are changing in the travel industry as we continue on the Buckmaster Show with Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Be a great weekend. Take a road trip. Get in the car. Get in the truck. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. One of our favorite places. We send so many of our listeners to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And this is a perfect time of year over there. It's 58 degrees midday in Silver City. A great temperature to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Go to their website, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org. There you will find all sorts of recreation ideas, some great ideas on where to stay, and some great dining opportunities as well. We continue talking travel talk with Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. Rhino, are you ready for some bleisure travel?
Right. I mean, isn't that a phrase that you say, bleisure? What is bleisure? I'm sure your listeners are questioning with that new word that we're going to add to the Webster's Dictionary. Mm-hmm. But bleisure travel is on the rise. And what is it? It's a combination of business and leisure travel. And it's always been a part of the mix for our corporate travelers that that go to those meetings and to maybe extend one or two nights on the front or the back end. But now corporations are starting to intentionally plan business meetings in destinations that lend themselves to a leisure component. And they're building in leisure aspects to the middle of their meetings, or really affording the opportunity for their employees to add on in a destination that makes sense. Again, we talked about in the previous segment, business meetings that take place at airport Hiltons across the country, not exactly ideal for a relaxing time post-conference meeting, but doing it at more of a resort destination and allowing their employees to take an extended trip. And American business travelers are really wanting to integrate leisure as a part of their business trips moving forward.
And, you know, personalization, you were talking about Silver Sea and 200, a ship with that carries, you know, just 200 passengers with 200 crew members ready to take care of all of your needs. Personalization has become a huge deal in the business.
Yeah, in the economics of travel for so many years, one size fits all was really the production model as it related to hotels and flights and tours, and let's just throw 50 people on a bus and everybody gets to have the same exact experience as you are shepherded around the world, and it is changing. The customization, the ability for the traveler to fit into some of these things that you can't have a private jet for every single person. But you have the ability to create unique itineraries, unique experiences within your travel itinerary that satisfy you on more on a personal level. Smaller groups that you're traveling with, personalized experiences, even within the hotels that we're seeing. The higher-end hotels are trying to cater to the needs of the traveler versus this is our product and everybody, again, has to fit into the one-size-fits-all model of travel, and that is truly what the traveler wants now. You have that with your food options, with all of your consumer habits and behaviors are really more catered to you. You get the size you want that fits you. Travel is going to be much more the same as you look forward. You're going to have options to make it a more personal experience.
People want sustainable tourism, and in many cases, Ryan Hansen, combined with active ecotourism.
Yeah, and what does sustainable mean? It's a little bit of a buzzword in it. It's not just moving away from plastic straws. That's not just what travelers are expecting, and that's not what the travel industry is needing to impact. And it really turns into what are cruise lines, and here's a specific example, what are cruise lines doing with their own carbon footprint as they enter into ports of call all across the world? Just like we talked about Silver Sea touching new ports in Greenland, what type of fuel emissions, what type of waste emissions are they doing? How are they tapping into the electrical grid in the port of call? So it's a massive infrastructure change, not only with a cruise line and their ships, but the ports of call are having to be upgraded to make sure that a 6,000 passenger ship that comes to a Caribbean port does not just dump its waste, drop 6,000 people in that port and eat up fuel and the emissions go all over. And then that port turns into something that no one wants to visit long term. So sustainable is, again, not just better use plastics and getting rid of the one-time use plastics. It's far-reaching and a very significant investment that I'm proud to be a part of an industry that's looking at that, because we need the world to be as special as it is now and not get worse because of the things that we do to the world. And while we're doing that, we're engaging in active tourism. Many people are not just wanting the bus ride built. They don't want the city highlights tour on the bus of just driving by places. They want something active. They want to be in nature. They want to be outdoors. Well, those footprints, you know, you want to get to destinations like the Galapagos that is special and unique because of its wildlife and its nature. But it's active. You want to be hiking. You want to be in kayaks. Well, you leave a footprint when you do that too, and you can change the entire ecosystem. So sustainable, active, it somewhat ties together as you look globally in this new trend.
Travel, for me anyway, has always been transformative. But now there's something that's a whole term in your business, Ryan Hansen, that's called transformation travel.
Yeah, so much of transformative, as you have kind of shared it and lived it, Bill, has been transformative for you, the traveler.
Yes.
It's taken you to a place that maybe is ancestral, connected to your family tree. It is something that is more spiritual, maybe your first safari where you are seeing nature at where, you know, pardon the phrase, but it touches home. It's where how God intended nature and wildlife to be, a safari. So that becomes a more spiritual experience for you. Transformation travel is now becoming a 360-degree impact here. So transformation is not just for the traveler to enhance their life, to create memories, to have more wellness opportunities. It is affording travelers the opportunity to volunteer and make a positive impact on the destinations and the people in which they travel to and interact with. Not just economically, not just in the goods that they buy, the trinkets that they take home, the food that they buy, and it can impact the community with that tourism dollar. But it's actually stepping out of your typical tourist, I want to hit the hot spots. I want to actually go volunteer and use my time in a charitable way while I travel. And that's a really neat part of how the industry is changing the world.
Then certain groups, particularly true with millennials and the Gen Xers, really are preferring spending money on excellent experiences, Ryan Hansen, rather than material items.
Yeah, not just, again, going to those curio shops in every port of call or going to Rome and just making sure that you bring home the little plaster sculpture of the Colosseum, or they're going to Pisa and you take home the little trinket of the Leaning Tower. Everybody that's been there probably has one on their sofa table at home, including me.
Yep.
But it's more so engaging with the local people, engaging with and not eating at any restaurant that is labeled Burger King or McDonald's. Again, somewhere, something that you could have at home. It's getting into an authentic restaurant that is maybe even in someone's home, that a local family is utilizing their talents and their skills and the resources that they have and opening up their home and cooking a home-cooked meal for travelers. And we have partners, and we call them destination specialists, that we partner with around the world. We have over 500 of them around the world that help us create these unique experiences that are, again, more organic, they're more authentic, and it's not just staying at a brand name box hotel right in the city center, eating at McDonald's and kind of just looking at the sights. It's immersing yourself in a more authentic experience. And you've mentioned millennials and Gen Z are somewhat leading the way in that. But trust me, baby boomers and Gen Xers are appreciating that level of travel just the same.
Boy, I tell you, so much changing in travel and Bon Voyage travel right here in Southern Arizona, really leading the way on the cutting edge of some of these major trends that are happening in the travel industry. Ryan Hansen, always a pleasure. Folks can learn more about you and your team at bvtravel.com. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks for having me on, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. And that will wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. A very interesting hour looking at travel trends and the way things are changing so dramatically in that industry. Bill Buckmaster saying thanks for joining us. Tom Fairbanks also on the other side of the glass wishing everybody well. Dave Ramsey's next.